Manifested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
22 minutes past six. In just a moment, we'll be speaking to Philippa Geert, founder and CEO of Recruit My Mom. So we're going to be talking about working women in South Africa with the release of the 2025 Working Women's Report. It's the largest and most comprehensive survey of its kind. It's conducted by Recruit My Mom, and the findings paint a very powerful picture that South African women are not only ambitious and highly educated, yet many still face significant barriers to career growth. So if you're a mom out there, if you're a woman out there in the workplace, you know, certainly the odds are not necessarily stacked in your favor. But what are those systemic issues that are keeping women not able to reach the same ceiling as men? We'll speak now. Let's see if we do have her on the line. Philippa Geert, founder and CEO of Recruit My Mom. Okay, not there on the line yet. All right, so we'll go first to this story, and that is a two-part withdrawal system. We told you about it. In the new tax year, there seems to be some interesting findings. Natasha Huguet-Henchy is consulting actuary and member of the Actuarial Society of South Africa Retirement Matters. Since the launch of the country's two-part retirement system on the 1st of 2024, it seems that thousands of retirement fund members have taken advantage of the new ability to access a portion of their retirement savings in times of need. To tell us more about the findings of the Actuarial Society of South Africa is Natasha Huguet-Henchy, consulting actuary, a member of the society. A very good evening to you, Natasha. I'm sorry, I did ask if I'm pronouncing your surname correctly. Is it Huguet-Henchy or am I off the mark?
Huguet-Henchy, yeah. Huguet rather than, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hi, it's a beautiful, nice to speak to you.
So just tell us a little bit more about how it's compiled, the study, and what were the main findings?
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, so we didn't do an in-depth study. We did more of a bit of a straw poll of all the actuaries working at the major insurance companies and administrators in the industry. But what we are finding is that, and you know, university across all of them, people who took their withdrawal in September or sometime last year are taking another withdrawal again this year. And, you know, at least kind of 75% universally across all fund members seems to be the trend, which really indicates that people are seemingly desperate for short-term funding and financing. And that is concerning because obviously the point of this two-pot system is to have money for emergencies. And this would seem to indicate that everyone's in emergency, you know, 6 months after their last emergency that they had. And obviously, you know, if you need it, you need it. But, you know, at the same time, if you're retrenched or if you actually have a real emergency, you know, we're concerned that people are not going to have access to that money.
Mm. And your figures show that that's what, 75% of people who are eligible to withdraw those funds that have made use of that opportunity.
No, so just to correct you, it's 75% of the people who have withdrawn now have made a previous withdrawal.
Uh-huh.
So that's, it's a little bit confusing. So we found probably about half, so just to take it overall, so half the people overall who are eligible have made a first withdrawal. So in other words, in the first round of these withdrawals, you know, from September up until the end of Feb, about half the people who could make a withdrawal did. And it depended, you know, some administrators were slightly more, some were slightly less, but then the people, so we have seen a decline in the number of withdrawals, and that's just because the balances are smaller. But almost everyone who's withdrawn now have done a previous withdrawal.
I know it's not an in-depth study, but were you able to get a sense from those that you polled what the average withdrawal was?
Yes, so the average withdrawals have halved, if not less, you know. So we kind of, you know, looking at about an 18,000-20,000 kind of withdrawal last time, and you're looking at about a 5,000-6,000 withdrawal this time. It's significantly lower. And obviously, you know, the first time round, you had the benefit of what we call the seeding. which was money that you were granted a once-off kind of access into the pot of about 30,000 or up to a maximum of 30,000. And obviously that 30,000 doesn't repeat again. So if you're withdrawing now, all you're withdrawing is your last 6 months' contributions into your savings pots. Whereas if you didn't make your first withdrawal, you could have had your 30,000 plus your 6 months' contributions. Mm. And that's the difference.
So, and it's also then, I suppose, very hard then to tell that if that major withdrawal was indeed to plug that hole of the emergency funding that was needed, and that this smaller amount is as a result of not being under as constrained conditions as they were when they originally, approached their retirement fund.
Yes. So look, I mean, so the second part of, what they're using it for is a little bit more anecdotal. We don't really have data on it. Some of the big insurers are trying to collect it. But we don't have a full study, but it's kind of anecdotal based on what people are saying, what we're hearing in the call centers and all of those things, what people are using the money for.
And there's also the tax issue of the money that you're withdrawing, right? So how much more it's impacting on what's left in your kitty?
Yes. Well, yes. No, absolutely. So, I mean, it actually, yeah. So it impacts you to the extent that, if you're drawing 10,000, there is going to be an 18, 20%, whatever, your marginal tax rate withdrawal on that. So you're withdrawing, for example, 10,000, but you might only get 8,000 after tax and fees. So that is an important aspect, and I think the other important aspect is that it could potentially push you into the next tax bracket. Mm. So in other words, if you've taken a withdrawal and your salary is such that you're just below the next tax bracket, it could actually push you into the next tax bracket, and then you find yourself in a tax trouble come 1 July when we've got to submit our tax returns.
And typically this is more people who are in steady jobs, right? Who have had a retirement fund going for a while. Are you seeing that with people who are seasonal workers who've tried to put away some money, and because of unforeseen circumstances, we've seen people being retrenched, people losing their jobs. So the picture must be also quite interesting from that front.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think, the unfortunate thing, though, is a lot of those seasonal workers don't have the luxury of being in the formal retirement funding, arrangements. Mm. So they are making use of alternate saving structures and are not. So we're not seeing as much of that in this. These tend to be people that have full-time formal employment. That really is one of the challenges that as an industry we need to do, is to find a solution for your seasonal workers and even your gig economy. People who are Uber drivers and working a couple of extra jobs, shift workers in, fast food outlets or whatever, we need to, our retirement fund system is not well geared for, contribute while you can, stop contributing when you can't, and being able to access that money. It's a little bit too restrictive.
There are positive stories, though, aren't there, of people who are using their withdrawal to forestall debt, like school fees, for instance.
Yes. No, and I mean, that really was a lovely story. I mean, it was a woman who recognized the name badge of a head of our admin service in a retail store, and she said she just was so excited that she could, and she'd really planned it. She thought, I'm normally taking a loan, I'm paying it off with a high interest rate. If I borrow from myself and pay myself back, it's just to my benefit. And it really is a lovely story that she was able to use her two pot for a good thing. She's putting the extra money back into her retirement savings, and next year she'll withdraw her two pot again and, put her kids through the next year of school. So there are people making clever financial choices. And that's, those are the good news stories.
And for those who aren't making, let's say, the most insightful of choices, Yes. What refinements should then be considered for, you know, sustainability of being able to allow South Africans to withdraw from their retirement fund via this two-pot system?
Yeah, so I mean, I think it really is a financial education need that we really need for people to understand, you know, the impact of compound interest, the impact of charges and fees, you know, the erosion from tax, all of those things that they don't understand. And, you know, us actuaries, we you know, the concept of present value of money and all of these things are second nature to us, but it's not something out there. And that to me is really around getting that financial education out there. And also, you know, the other thing is for people to consult a financial advisor before they make those withdrawals. What is the impact? Can I get some help? You know, explain it to me in simple terms, draw me a picture that I can understand so that I'm not going to make, you know, a silly mistake.
Well, thank you so much for speaking to us on that advice, Natasha Haggard-Henchy, consulting actuary, a member of the Actuarial Society of South Africa Retirement Matters Committee. And actually, when you're speaking about retirement advisors, heard a very interesting story. I forgot the name of the author, but he's written a book about financial education. He himself, I think he said he'd done a B.Commerce, and he started thinking about it. Fables, and this is the manner in which he's teaching financial literacy. I certainly want to grab a copy of that, because sometimes it's a trust issue, right? You just think maybe you and I are not vibing on that level, so your advice sounds a bit fishy to me.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.